you very much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Erica Foster. I work with Dr. Francesca Cutrufo at Colorado State University. And today I would like to show you the science and techniques behind a really simple laboratory assay that we've conducted based off of some interesting results we've seen in our field studies with biochar. So I'm going to share with you today the sorption of enzymes on biochar and manure amendments and in agricultural soil. And we are lucky enough to work with Dr. Emily Fogel from Cal Poly, who is an enzymologist as well. So our initial field experiment occurred 20 minutes north of Fort Collins at an agricultural research station where we were working in a maize system. So we used two organic amendments, manure and biochar, applied at 30 tons per hectare, surface applied, and then disc tilled into about 15 centimeters. And of course, as many of you know, biochar is a highly porous substance that has an extremely high surface area depending upon pyrolysis temperature. And so we were going to compare this to the typical application of manure. And we looked at several soil factors. We're measuring soil moisture, pH, soil nutrient retention, and then microbial biomass and nutrient cycling dynamics. So my question in the field experiment really revolved around the change in microbial function with these biochar amendments and the manure amendments. And so to look at change in function, we decided to look at extracellular enzymes to see how nutrients were shifting and the cycling shifting in our system. So we looked at seven different extracellular enzymes, four broad carbon cycling enzymes, two nitrogen cycling enzymes, and then a phosphatase. And as you all know, extracellular enzymes are going to be influenced by soil properties. And so those four factors that we were focusing on in the soil and the organic amendments and how they influence these. So one was soil moisture, which is going to affect how the enzyme accesses the substrate. So basically how frequently the enzyme can interact with substrate. Then soil pH, because the enzymes have optimal conditions in which they function. Soil nutrient retention will obviously be affected by the organic amendments, and this is altering the amount of substrate present in the system. And enzymes are extremely sensitive to soil stoichiometry, so if you have large macromolecules in the soil, then you might expect an increase in enzymatic production so that the microbes can access that. But you also need a certain level of monomers for the microbe to actually produce the enzyme. So it's pretty complex stoichiometry, and we're trying to simplify this system. And then we also need to look at microbial biomass, because if you have more microbes in the system, you could potentially have more production of the enzyme. So if we look at the impact of the amendments on our soil properties that we were interested in, these are changes relative to the control, so percent increase and decrease. And as you can see, the biochar only increased total soil carbon. So this was a 1.2% change in total soil carbon, or 80% increase over the control. We did see a change in gravimetric soil moisture, but it wasn't statistically significant. It was about 10%. And then, as you can see, the manure greatly impacted these properties. And so we would expect, after looking at this data, that manure would influence extracellular enzymatic activities more than the biochar. So let's take a look. So the potential enzymatic activity is along the y-axis. This is nanomoles of substrate processed per gram dry soil per hour. And then we have the biochar in black, and the control is a light gray, and the manure is dark gray. And if you look at the control and the manure, you can see that there are no significant differences across these seven different enzymes. Now let's take a look at the biochar. We see increases in alpha-glucosidase, in cellobiohydrolase, and also N-acetylglucosaminidase. And we see decreases in beta-glucosidase and also our phosphatase. These were about 40% decreases. And I thought that this was the most interesting question in the system, so today we'll be focusing on these decreases. So what could potentially account for these changes in phosphatase and beta-glucosidase? So potential factors that might decrease enzymatic activity are those four factors that we had measured in our field study, but did biochar change any of those factors? Not statistically significantly. So what could potentially be changing potential enzymatic activity? And we hypothesized that it could be due to sorption. So there are a couple different mechanisms here that could be at play. We could see sorption of the substrate. The substrate might actually occur at a higher concentration near the biochar surface, which I believe we'll also be hearing about in our next couple speakers as well. So this could, we have seen before that biochar could create microbial hotspots next to the surface. So if the substrate is concentrated next to the surface of the biochar, we could potentially see a decrease if the monomers were more available to the microbes and there was not a need to produce the enzyme. We could also see a decrease if there was just lower availability of the substrate, if it sorbed strongly enough to the biochar surface that it was inaccessible in some way to the enzymes. Another mechanism possible is we could see sorption of the enzyme itself, and today we will be focusing specifically on this aspect, because again, this is a pretty complex question and we wanted to try to simplify it as much as possible. So we could see stabilization of the enzyme. There's another study out of Colorado State University that showed that certain enzymes actually will sorb to the surface of the biochar and then become stabilized and be able to withstand denaturation stress due to that stability, but only with specific enzymes. We could also see sorption of the enzyme on the biochar that changes the morphology of the active site, and since that is highly important for degradation of these organic molecules, that this would cause the enzyme to not be able to function anymore in the system. So our hypothesis was that the high surface area of our pine biochar would sorb the beta-glucosidase and the phosphatase and thus reduce potential activity of these enzymes. So to test this question, we used four matrices. We used our soil, which was a sandy clay loam, an irrigated soil from our cropping system. Then we used our manure, our pine biochar, which was pyrolyzed at 400 to actually a maximum of 700 degrees Celsius. And then a grass biochar, which was a lower pyrolysis temperature, which, as we've seen, can have a large impact on how it interacts with the microbial community. And as you can see, the biggest difference here is the surface area, which we measured through N2 gas BET analysis. Then we selected four different enzymes that we could find in purified form. So we have our beta-glucosidase, which is carbon cycling enzyme that we saw 40% reduction in activity in with the biochar. We have xylosidase, which is also carbon cycling enzyme, which we saw no impact on activity with. And we have our two phosphatase enzymes, which operate at different pH optimum. So to test sorption, we used a Bradford protein assay, and so we weighed 5 milligrams of the matrix and added a known concentration of the purified enzyme in 100 microliters of a 50 millimolar TRIS buffer. We adjusted the pH to 8.3, so it matched our soil. We vortexed the centrifuge tubes and then allowed them to sorb for 1 hour, and then we measured the protein content colorimetrically using the Coamossi reagent. So essentially a blue color indicated more protein in the sample. Then we needed to test the enzymatic activity of the sorbed enzyme. So we used a fluorometric assay, and we took 5 milligrams of the matrix, so this was a new sample, added it to a deep well plate, and used the same concentration of enzyme but a higher volume. And we allowed that to sorb for 1 hour, and then we aspirated the concentrated protein solution off the surface, and then we rinsed the matrix, essentially adding 400 microliters of buffer 2 times in order to ensure that there's a dilution of the concentrated protein and also that we were only measuring what was sorbed to the surface. Then we measured the activity of the sorbed enzyme fluorometrically, and so essentially for these four enzymes, we added the sigma-aldrich substrate, which has a fluorogenic moiety attached, and as the enzyme breaks down, the fluorescence is released. So jumping into the results here, really simply, this is percent of the enzyme sorbed. And so on the left, we have the beta-glucosidase, which is in black, and you can see that only 7% of that enzyme sorbed across all of the matrices. Then we have the phosphatases in the middle. The acid phosphatase is the darker gray, which sorbed the highest. And then we have the xylosidase on the far right and in white. And that will be consistent across the following graphs. So the question remains, we saw differential sorption between the enzymes. Did we see an interaction with the matrices? And we did, in fact, and I would like to point out that the manure, unfortunately, dyed the supernatant a brown color, likely due to the tannins coming off of the manure, and so we have to disregard that because it compromised the colorimetric assay. And then another interesting piece about this graph is, of course, the negative sorption, which is likely due to proteins coming off of the matrix itself, so we ended up with more protein in the sample than we had actually measured. And again, we're still working on this assay and optimizing it, so we hope to look at different volumes and weights of the sample. So if we simplify this graph and remove the manure and move the axis down, we have a pretty simple story here. So if you look at the pine biochar with the high surface area, we see sorption of beta-glucosidase. We see the highest sorption of alkaline phosphatase and the highest sorption of xylosidase. And then across all three matrices, we see the same amount of sorption of the acid phosphatase, meaning that it doesn't have a preference for any matrices. Then if we look at the activity here, so this is nanomoles of activity per gram dry soil per hour, we use two enzymes for this assay. We use the beta-glucosidase because it didn't sorb to anything except for the pine char, and then the acid phosphatase because we saw the highest sorption of that enzyme. So if you look at this, the beta-glucosidase sorbed pretty evenly across all of the matrices, but the activity was fairly even across all of the matrices. And then we look at the acid phosphatase, and you can see that that was reduced with the two biochars, as we had hypothesized. So we are still working today to use the assay that we do with the sorption assay as well as the activity assay on the same exact sample so that we can create a regression and try and prove and see if there is a correlation between the activity and the sorption, because at this point we still need to work on the volumes of the protein added and the amount of substrate in the deep well. So essentially, really simply, our conclusion showed that the enzymes do sorb at different rates, with acid phosphatase sorbing across all of the matrices evenly and the lowest sorption of beta-glucosidase, and that beta-glucosidase, the xylosidase, and also the alkaline phosphatase slightly sorb preferentially across these different matrices. Then if we looked at activity, we saw that the acid phosphatase was in fact reduced when the enzyme was sorbed to the biochar surfaces. But the question still remains, what happened to the beta-glucosidase that we saw a 40% reduction in? So that we weren't able to answer that question with this assay. So we hypothesized that the beta-glucosidase might have decreased due to the high carbon substrate that we added with the biochar. And so perhaps this is more dependent on soil stoichiometry rather than sorption for this specific enzyme. We also need to look at the charges of the enzymes themselves to see what the attraction level would be to the surface of the biochar. So essentially, in terms of management implications from this really simple lab assay, we can basically conclude that we do need to consider nutrient balances when we're adding this high carbon substance as well as sorption onto the surface of the biochar. And perhaps with some more very carefully orchestrated lab assays, we can determine which enzymes are going to sorb to the biochar surfaces and perhaps see which ones would be stabilized, which, coming back to the theme of this conference, could potentially increase resiliency of our agricultural systems if we could stabilize these enzymes and manage nutrient cycling in that way. I'd like to thank our lab and field technicians for all of their hard work and also our funding sources. And thank you very much for coming today. We have not yet. We just have started this research, so we're kind of looking into what the next step will be. Great, thank you.